Hello and welcome to the Prize Fighter Podcast with Steve Bunce. That's me, by the way. And we've got a ton of stuff to cover in the 8th edition of the show. 8 editions! Wowee, that's not bad. There's the International Heavyweights wrap-up, won by Mike Perez, the Cuban, who calls Ireland home. There's the next show, the Welterweights 2, in under a month at Yorkall, glorious Yorkall. We'll look at the runners and the riders. I speak to Kell Brook about his forthcoming fight with Love Rowan Du, which comes after Carl the Cobra Frotch fights Glenn Johnson in the semi-finals of the Super 6 in America, Atlantic City to be precise. Our man caught up with him before he jetted off stateside. And finally, I'll be taking a close look, well, a special kind of look, Gavin Rees and, of course, Andy Murray. International Heavyweights. The prize fighter machine continues, my friend. It was Alexandra Palace, 8 fighters, 8 giant flags, and 7 fights. Knockdowns, controversy, men of 22 stone, 2 men at least of 6'8". It had it all, it really did, which is why International Prize Fighter took place. The first quarter final. The favourite, and he was the favourite, Mike Perez from Cuba. Well, he looked like it was all going to be over against Kirsten Manswell from Trinidad and Tobago in about the first minute or two. He managed to survive the round, did Manswell. Went to 3 rounds in the end, but Perez was a clear, clear winner. But he didn't look that devastating. He won it comfortably, but you didn't think, wowee, there's a world champion in the making. And that gave some hope to the rest of the people. Second quarterfinal, 22 stones of Russian. Evgeny, the molecule from hell, Orlov, against French bouncer Gregory Tony. It was a hard, tough fight. And the crowd at the Alexandra Palace, they got behind Evgeny. It was fantastic. Anyway, Tony won the split. The crowd, they were not happy. And then 6'8" Ty Fields, the KO man. He really is the KO man, against Michael Sprott, the current British prize fighter heavyweight champion. Now, this fight was savage at times. Fields won it on another split decision. Again, the crowd weren't particularly happy. I thought, and I've got to be honest, I thought Fields had just done enough. Now, in the final quarterfinal, Konstantin Erich was just too big for Romanian Lucian Bott. Although Bott was coming back into it at the end. He got bashed up, smashed to bits in the first round, did Bott, but he managed to come back. In fact, he was coming back quite big. So he went to the semi-finals. Perez blasted Tony in 54 seconds, and Fields knocked out Erich in 1 minute and 14 seconds. Into the final, the crowd were loving it. Absolutely fantastic. Field of power, Taylor was ringside pumping people up. Perez needed 42 seconds to break Fields, and boy, oh boy, did he break him. Bish, bash, and Bosch. Prize Fighter 18 was over. Mike Perez of Cuba was the winner. So that was the International Heavyweights Prize Fighter number 18. Let's move straight on now. June the 7th, close your eyes, Yorkall, Prize Fighter 19, the Welterweights 2. If you want tickets for this one, by the way, and this one, I'm telling you, will be a guaranteed, sweaty, heaving, unforgettable sellout. The ticket number 01277 359 900. That's Matchroom's number, okay? 01277 359 900. And I love this welterweight lineup. It's a classic, absolute classic prize fighter lineup, because there's former world champions, there's hungry young fighters, there's avoided fighters, and there's fighters desperate to give their careers a kickstart. And if there's one thing Prize Fighter's been doing for a few years, it's kickstarting careers. It really is. Well, let's have a look at the 8 so far. Okay, Kevin McIntyre, former British welterweight champion. Kev's been around a long while. He's seasoned. Junior Witter. Well, Junior's been around since the days of Nassim Hamid. Nigel Benenko. How long ago was that? Chris Eubank. Anyways, the former WBC, European, Commonwealth and British light welterweight champion. 43 fights, 22 quick, 37 wins, 4 defeats and 2 draws. Nathan Graham, young kid from Aylesbury, he's only lost twice. Now, he's been a pro since 2004. And if you've only had 13 fights since 2004, you're already for a size 10 up your backside to get a move on. And Peter McDonough, let me just say straight away, forget the stats. He was born in Galway. He's had 36 fights. He's only won 16, but forget the stats because hometown decisions. And as he said, I don't even look for the referee's hand when I hear the final bell. I know I'm not going to get it. You could probably wipe out about 12 of those 16. It maybe even more. In 2006, he actually used Uri Geller to help him find the mental and physical tools to defeat Michael Gomez for an Irish title. And he did defeat Michael Gomez. And what about this? Hornchurch veteran Colin Lyons, former IBO, British and European champion, a man that's he's defied the form book again and again and again and again. And take a look at some of the names on his record. Paul McCloskey, Solomon Mbai, Ajosi Olusegun, Junior Witter, Branko, Dawes, Reeks, Barnes, Price. He's been in, he's mixed it, he's shared it, he's torn it up with all of them. He's fought the best light welterweights and welterweights in Great Britain for about the last six or seven years. And this young kid, he's the baby in the pack. He's 24 years of age. Chessant warrior Bobby Gladman. 8 fights undefeated, by the way. Coming up now, number 7 on the list. And 7's obviously this boy's lucky number. The Duke, John Wayne Hibbert. 7 fights, 7 wins, all 7 wins at York Hall. Will he make it 8, 9, 10? Or will someone make it 8, 9, 10 on him? Ba-boom, ba-boom, as they say in the trade. And finally, the entertainer, the showman, the Moroccan who can sock 'em, the man that nobody wants to fight, Yassine El Marchi, okay? 4 defeats in 14 fights, but seriously overmatched. He's now unbeaten in his last 10, going back 3 years. And as he said, nobody will fight me. That's just exactly how he said it. What a fantastic lineup. Just going to do that again. Kevin McIntyre, Junior Witter, Nathan Graham, Peter McDonough, Colin Lyons, Bobby Gladman, the Duke, John Wayne Hibbert, and the entertainer, the Yassine El Marchi, the Moroccan who can sock them. 19th edition of Prize Fighter. The second welterweight edition, Michael Lomax won the first. You want tickets for this, it's 012-77-359-900. And when you get there, make sure you come over and say hello to me at ringside. That's the Prize Fighter business for the moment, but let's stick at welterweight. It's Sheffield's Kell Brook. Now, he was ringside for the international heavyweights, and I spoke to him.
Kel, you finally got a date, June 25th in Sheffield, and you've got an opponent, I'm told.
Yeah, I've got an opponent. He's called Love Morandu, ex-world champion, ex-game champion. He's been in with Paulo Malignaggi. He's been in with Saul Alvarez. He's been in with top names. He's never, ever been stopped. He's a very tough game champion.
Is that the motivation here, the fact that he's been in with so many of those fighters and they've never stopped him?
Yeah, it's a great motivation for me because I want to go one step further. I want to stop him. And another motivation is that it's in Sheffield. So that's driving me. I'm running past that in the morning, every morning, looking at it, thinking in so many weeks, I'm going to get a sellout crowd in there and I'm going to put a performance, best performance of my life on in there. So it's good.
You know, I've noticed, Kel, over the last 4, 5 or 6 months since that fight up in Liverpool, your state of mind, just the way you look, it's just completely been transformed.
It has, you know what I mean? It's like a new leaf of life. I signed a deal with Eddie Hearn and he's a young promoter. Everyone's saying how good looking he is at the minute. He's liking that, but yeah, he's talking good things to me. You know, we've got a bright future ahead of us, so I'm very, very, very happy with how things are going.
Now, with Lamborghini, I mean, it's a step up in class in a sense. He's got that form, that hit, that world championship history. But more than that, he's been in with good fighters. Fights he might have lost, but he's taken them the full 10 or the full 12. Are you going to have to prepare differently in any way?
No. For every fight, I train for 12 rounds. But it's just, it's giving more drives, you know, because in back of my mind, I know that I've been stopped. I think to myself, oh, I can stop this kid. But with this guy, he's been in with some tough game champions, ex-game champions. No one's ever stopped him. No one's ever really seriously hurt him. So I'm training that extra bit harder, you know. I'm running. I'm looking at that hill instead of taking short track home. I'm thinking, no, I'm going to do it twice, you know, because this kid is coming to win, and he's coming to win with all his heart and his crowd.
And that's what he does. Now, the one thing The one thing that concerns me slightly is I agree with you, it'd be great to stop him, great to get that on your record because no one else has done it. But at the same time, wouldn't it be great to have a hard 12 round fight just to test yourself?
Definitely, you know. I hope that he can take me 12 rounds. I want to
stop him in the 12th.
Stop him in the 12th. Yeah, I want to give the fans what they come to see. I want a lot of action in ring. You know, I want to look good. I want to chuck a lot of shots. I want to rate him. If it goes 12, I know it's going to be a very, very exciting fight because I'm not in no boring fight. I'm coming in there to chuck a lot of shots and entertain the Sheffield crowd.
Do you think you can be a crowd pleaser, Kel? Because you've taken care of opponents so easily, you've bashed people up, you've just knocked them out of the way. But do you think you can actually be a crowd pleaser as opposed to a good champion? Because they're two different things.
Of course I can. You know, like Brendan has it in ring from 9-year-old, 10-year-old, you know, down at Ingle Gym where Nathan that's come from. And he gets us doing all sorts to please the crowd. So I've got everything in locker. It's just it ain't come out in me yet, you know. So maybe love more content me that them further rounds, and you're gonna see all different kinds of Kell Brook in there.
Kell Brook there. Busy times ahead for Kell and also for Matchroom Boxing. Let's go. June the 4th in Cardiff. Vacant European lightweight title against local idol Gavin Rees and unbeaten Irishman Andy Murray. It's for John Murray's old title. Don't get confused. Some people already have been. Murray has won 24 from 24 with 12 quick. And Rees, well, what a crazy career. He's been a pro 13 and a bit years and he's still only 31. He was the WBA light welterweight champion. Yeah, proper champion. The belt that Amir Khan now holds. And you know what? You've got to look at Rees and you've got to think, what a campaigner. He's been down at Super Feather. He's been up at about welter. He just goes on and on and on. That fight's got an awful lot about it. I quite like it. Also on June the 4th, and this time in Atlantic City. That's one of America's best boxing cities. Carl Froch, the Cobra from Nottingham, continues his stunning quest for super middleweight domination. And that's really what we're talking about here. It's the semi-finals of the Super Six. The tournament that's seen Carl have a few highs, a couple of lows, and a staggering high last year in Helsinki when it was minus 17 and he gave Arthur Abraham, the German, an absolute quality beating. It was a privilege to be ringside that night. Well, this time, Carl's up against one of the planet's toughest fighters, Glenn Goff Johnson. This guy has rewritten the book on being tough, on being hard, and on being a real pain in the jacksie. He doesn't go away. He's a great fighter. That's June the 4th in Atlantic City. Carl's the WBC champion. That's on the line, well, as it always is in the Super Six. But really, it's a place in the Super Six final. That final will be sometime in about November or so. Now, this is what Carl had to say about the fight and the Super Six.
I'm fighting now for my legacy and to be put up there with some of them big, great names and, you know, them fights consecutively that I've been involved in. Gives me that recognition. It's fantastic. It's a great feeling. Glenn Johnson's someone who's been in there with the best of them, mixed it at the top level. And he's not always got the results at top level, although he did knock out Roy Jones Jr., which sounds great on paper. He was past his best, Roy Jones. But no, he's somebody who you need to fight and beat in style to prove that you can dominate at world level, and that's what I'm doing at the minute. So everyone expects me to go in there and do a job with Johnson and not take the fight light or take the eye off the ball, if you like, and that's what I won't be doing. I won't be taking him lightly. But he's got to make the weight, so although he is a big, strong light heavyweight, he's still got to do super middle. So he'll put it bigger on the night and he'll feel bigger and stronger and heavier and very tough. But the fact that he's done the weight means that down the stretch he'll be tiring. And let's not forget he's 42. You know, he's as old as my trainer. I know my trainer wouldn't want to be fighting now because he tells me he still runs, he still trains, but he wouldn't want to be boxing. He certainly wouldn't want to be boxing me. But he chooses to do it, and you know, Hopkins is 47, so 42 sounds young compared to 47.
Yeah. And talking of legacy, as you have, obviously, as Eddie said, we don't want to look past Johnson at all. But how do you regard Ward? And as much as you want to concentrate on Glenn Johnson, are you already thinking of that?
Yeah, I've seen the fight with Ward and Abraham, and I'm obviously thinking about that. I've been thinking about it from the start, and I always thought it'd be a Froch Ward final. The undisputed unified titles, and that's looking like that's how it's panning out. Just got to get my foot over the line with Johnson in a couple of weeks, and that's how it will be. So, definitely. Complacency. Yeah, that could be a danger if I wasn't a consummate professional. You know, somebody who's been where I've been and done what I've done would never take someone like Johnson lightly. That'd be stupid. I've done all my runs, all my training. I've done 100 odd rounds of sparring against top fighters. So I'm fully prepared to go in there with Johnson, whether he be a 42-year-old Johnson or a fresh Johnson with a title. He's, you know, there's no danger of me getting in there and being complacent at all. I'm too much of a professional for that.
Obviously, Ward's called Son of God. Do you think he should be renamed Son of Showtime because he's had all the fights on his back garden?
Yeah. There's an argument that he's had it all in his favour and he's had it very easy because he's not left California. I think that's just the way it's worked out in terms of the fights being that place, you know, that state every time. It wasn't his hometown last time. And I think the judges and officiating was all fair and above board because Sowland's made sure of that. But no, he's not travelled away. He's not jumped on an aeroplane like I have three times. So it's not ideal for me, especially with being champion. Maybe we should have slipped something in the contract there that, you know, when you're champion, you get the option to fight at home. It's not happened, but I'm not going to lose any sleep about it.
Do you think, arguably, you've had the toughest run of fighters in the tournament? You've also had to fight Duvall before Abraham. You fought Kessler and then you're going to be taking on Johnson and Ward. Do you think you've had the biggest run?
I think I have. I think I'd have rather had Ward's run, even though he boxed Kessler. He boxed Kessler when he was out of the ring for 10 months and he had one comeback fight, which was just a steady like tick over for like a sparring session. And Kessler had to travel over there with his belt and fight Ward in his backyard. And he got away with murder, Ward did. He headbutted him, cut him up. You know, Kessler was never able to get going and have a fight like he had with me. So Ward has had an easy run in terms of, you know, being taken out of his comfort zone. But that's my job, to take him out of his comfort zone when I fight him, put him on his back foot, hit him hard and often and let him realise he's in a fight, and that fight's not going to be in California, no chance.
It's good that you're on Sky Sports now, a bigger base than you've been recently. I mean, I know it used to, but how much does it rile you that you regard yourself as Britain's elite sportsman and you still haven't got that recognition to the general public?
It's very upsetting that, you know, I've done what I've done, I've achieved what I've achieved, and I've not had the recognition and the acknowledgement from people that I deserve. But, you know, I'm putting all that behind me. Like Eddie said earlier, times are going to change for me. Moving forward, I'm back on Sky. And, you know, I'm involved in some big fights now, and it's time for me to get some acknowledgement, recognition that I deserve. So I'm optimistic the future's going to look good. First pick of all them for me would be the Kessler fight because I've had a decision go against me with him. So that's something I want to put right immediately. But I don't think that's the biggest fight out there. I think the Pascal fight, like heavyweight, is a big, big fight. And, the Calzaghe fight is... it's a dream fight, and one that not just me but all the fight fans and everybody would want to see. And if that fight can happen, that's a fight that should happen. I know he's been retired and, you know, he's been out of the gym for a while, but it's not something you can rule out because he's talking about, I want this much money. So if he's talking about it, then he's not ruling it out, is he?
And obviously, if you beat Johnson, you're beating a guy that he was due to fight twice. So will you be saying that in your post-fight interview, maybe, and dropping the end?
I might mention that I want to fight with Calzaghe, but in no respect with Johnson, because I don't think that's significant at all.
Yeah. And just in terms of your next fight out of the Super 6, obviously you say £175 is an option. How close are you with Pascal? I mean, I believe they're still friends.
Yeah, definitely. I still talk to him. I talked to him about 3 weeks ago. He's in a cafe in Canada. Okay. And we had a little chat. But we've got a little verbal thing going off where he wants to get the blemish off his record, and I want to fight for the WBC title at light heavyweight. So there's a fight there that could be very easily made.
We need to get past Hopkins first, and that's no given.
Exactly, 21st of May. He's got a tough fight there with Hopkins, so he needs to do that. But I'm sure he will.
That's Carl Froch talking there. I've been Steve Bunce. You've been listening to me talk about the prize fighters that have gone, the prize fighters that are coming, and some fights in between. We had Kell Brook. Hope it's been entertaining. We'll see you next time.